It is a privilege this morning to welcome to our pulpit Luann Roberts, Reverend Luann Roberts, who is a chaplain at the Elmwood Correctional Facility, and she is the pastor who works most closely with the Art and Spirit Ministry. Luann is an American Baptist minister. She's been a chaplain at the jail for the past 12 years, and she was a volunteer in the ministry for many years before that. So she spent many years in jail. And we welcome her to preach to us this morning. Luann.
Good morning. Grace and peace to you, and greetings from the inmates at Elmwood and downtown and everywhere around our county. They are actually worshiping today, many of them just like we are. Would you please pray with me? Lord, help us to open our minds and our hearts to the healing of your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There is a children's book that many of you might know about called You Are Special by Max Lucado. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about this story because it relates so well with what Art and Spirit is doing, and you'll see the photos of the facility and photos of the art that the inmates have made. Thank you very much to this group. Amazing stuff. So the book, You Are Special, it's about a village of wooden people called the Wemmicks. And they are made by the same wood carver named Eli. And they did the same thing every day. They stuck stickers on one another. They stuck stars on some people and gray dots on other people. And the pretty Wemmicks, the ones with the smooth wood and the nice paint, the smart ones who knew all the big words and could sing pretty songs, they got stars. If they did dumb things, if they didn't have smooth paint, or if they got angry, they would get dots. The main character's name was Punchinello, and he received so many dots from the Wemmicks, they would just come up and give him another dot for no reason. They would think, he deserves a lot of dots. He must not be a good wooden person. He would just hang around then with other Wemmicks with a lot of gray dots because he would feel better around them. And one day, a Wemmick named Lucia, he met, and she had no stickers at all. And he asked her why, and she said, the stickers don't stick to me. And he said, why? And she said, because every day I go see Eli. So Punchinello went to see the wood carver also. And the wood carver explained to Punchinello that his stickers would fall off also when he understood that he was special because Eli made him. And Eli doesn't make mistakes. And when Punchinello left his time with Eli, one of his dots fell to the floor. It's a lovely story. But the truth is that these gray dots represent stigma. Stigma is a mark of disgrace. Dis meaning reverse, and grace meaning pardon and mercy. So disgrace and stigma are the opposite of grace. And some of the most stigmatized, disgraced people in our society are the incarcerated, or those who have jail in their history. This includes the mentally ill and the drug addicted. And stigmatized folks are like the ones with the gray dots. They usually have a lot of gray dots, and they end up getting more gray dots. So it's so easy to get more gray dots once you have some. It's so difficult to climb out of shame and stigma. And here's the thinking of the Wemmicks, and most of us as well. Most human beings think that people with stigma, like arrest and incarceration, they don't seem to be good people. If someone just can't stay out of jail, they must not be a worthwhile person, and certainly not someone who deserves a star sticker. So I wanted to give you a few of the facts about people with stigma. and especially people in jail. 85% of incarcerated people have suffered significant trauma, sexual abuse, domestic violence, or multiple traumas from the time they were children, like abuse and neglect. Many of them have personality disorders due to their childhood trauma, and behaviors that come out of trauma are behaviors, protective behaviors, to keep you from future trauma. Some of those get them arrested. Stigma begets more stigma. Gray dots attract more gray dots. In our passage from Matthew 25, Jesus does this great switcheroo, right? He puts his face instead on the face of the hungry, of the naked, of the incarcerated and the sick. And he calls them the least of these, his brothers and sisters, the ones with the gray dots. So Jesus's orientation to the stigmatized and the outsider come from his understanding of the Hebrew scriptures, where God is the defender, the protector, the provider, the savior, and the refuge. So Jesus enters into this madness of human existence and claims solidarity with the condemned. He said, "When I was in prison, you visited me." So here is Jesus with his disciples, and he's talking to them concerning the values and the ethics of the reign of God. Jesus asked his disciples, "Are you participating in liberating acts to lead others towards a more abundant life? Or are you participating in enslaving acts that are leading others to more suffering? Are you giving more gray dots to those with gray dots? Or are you helping those so that their gray dots might fall off?" Many years ago, I prayed to the Lord, "I want to know you better. I want to know Christ better and deeper." And shortly after that, God sent me to jail. So you got to watch out what you pray for. After I became a chaplain some years later, crime intersected my family. A family member had become a victim of a crime so abhorrent, I had trouble and struggled still getting my mind around how this could have happened. The perpetrator was arrested and was housed in jail in a building right near where my office was. And believe me, I thought of numerous ways I could get to this person and hurt him. In my position as a victim, I couldn't sustain any kind of compassionate thoughts towards him. I couldn't think of justice for him. I cried, I mourned, I screamed at God, "Why?" I pleaded with God for help. I hated this guy for what he'd done. I also hated the stigma that was now part of my family member's life, victim. And yet I wanted for this person, I wanted debilitating stigma to stick to him for the rest of his life. But then that would mean that we would carry the stigma of victim the rest of our lives. So throughout the years following, we found healing. And we found healing through our church family, through friends, through our relationship with God. And our stickers of victim began to fall away. And I'll tell you how this happened. The family member who was the victim actually became unwilling to accept that victim stigma. Instead, she helped the rest of the family climb to higher ground. The miracle of my life was that God brought compassion for this man to my heart. Spiritual healing for me came through the conviction of my own meanness and my own desire to punish instead of restoration for him. So I began slowly to step out in faith that God loved us, that God could somehow hold all of this. Nothing was going to change concerning the harm. It had been done. I could change. I could either live in bitterness, anger, fear for the rest of my life, or I could start praying for healing and restoration for him as a human being. And that was hard, because forgiveness is hard work. Real forgiveness is terribly painful business. Look at what it did to our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus had to take, gave us forgiveness, and it cost him his life. But it's in building hope and restoration for the prisoners that we cease to be victims. They cease to be offenders. They are given hope to start anew, and so are we. And I'm sure of one thing. I'm sure that within relationships that we find ourselves healed. That's why isolation is so difficult. That's why so many people are not finding healing, because there's not support. There's not healing relationships. People have to be able to understand that they're worthy of love as human beings, so that they can dream big dreams, so that they can have confidence to make changes, to live as part of the forgiven community. If healing from pain and trauma and fear is found in healthy relationships that draw us to God, then jail was created to be just the opposite. Jail is like one big gray dot. It's a place of loneliness, and it means failure. Jail is a world of static gray isolation. It's a desert of loneliness, fear, division, loss, pain. People live 24/7 in a fear of those they don't trust, hours of waiting, hours of mind-numbing dead time in cells and on their bunks, waiting for medication, waiting for meals, waiting for showers, waiting to get off the bunk or leave the cell, waiting to use collect call phones, waiting for something, anyone, to invade the monotony and dispel the madness for a while. This is the setting to which CIC Ministries has invited the Art and Spirit Ministry. Into units where hope is desperately needed. They bring color, fellowship, laughter, storytelling, prayers, music, artistic expression, new perspectives, healing relationships, and hope. These volunteers, they break down the barriers of dissension and mistrust. And the message, believe me, is clear to the prisoners. People can change because they are God's valued creations. And they are treated just like they have no gray dots, treated just like they have no stigma. The art you see depicts the conflict and the pain and the beauty and the diversity of the human artists behind them. Can you kind of sense the gray dots falling away? They are given hope every time this group comes in. This group is wounded healers. There's something about gray dots that I have to still stick in here. that when you work with people that have stigma, you get stigma yourself. There's an amount of stigma they have, I have, our other volunteers have. We're inmate lovers. We're bleeding hearts. Doors close in our faces because we're told that criminals don't deserve prison. They don't deserve redemption. I understand that, because I believe that once too. Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest known for his contemplative writing, wrote in The Wounded Healer, "Who can save a child from a burning house without risking being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without the risk of experiencing similar pain in his own heart and even losing his precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering it?" These guys are entering it every time they go in the jail. It knocks you over, the sight, the smell, the sound of punishment and stigma. But they are offering healing through supportive relationships, through self-expression. I think, Kathy, can I say something about Lydia's Table? There's going to be an opportunity that many of you might have to attend something called Lydia's Table, because not everybody's called to go into the jails. I'd love to bring y'all. And if anybody wants to come, come talk to me. I'll bring you in. But for many, they don't need to go or are not called to go. But there are other ways to serve, other ways to help support those that do. So you might want to attend Lydia's Table. In short, none of us want those gray dots. None of us want to be stigmatized. I pray that we can act and live free of stigma, each of us, and help others find hope and to teach them people are special because God made us and God don't make mistakes. Let's pray. Lord, you are the Lord of the least of these, the least of each one of us. Thank you that you came to seek and to serve us and to save us when we were lost. Help us to know your heart and to follow in your steps to give of ourselves to those in need. Help us to not neglect you. You have a very distressing disguise as a prisoner, as a mentally ill person, as an addicted one or homeless. Help us to not stick more gray dots on you, but to help save and defend you and your loved ones. Help us to have courage and generosity to draw others into your forgiven family. We pray this for the sake of your love. Amen.